Welcome to the Healthy Skin Show with Jennifer Fugo, where we're flipping everything you've been told about your chronic skin issues upside down and connecting you with alternative solutions your dermatologist never told you about.
Welcome back to episode number 148 of the Healthy Skin Show. In today's episode, I'm actually going to have a client share her story with you. She's a psoriasis warrior, and she's going to talk about the things that she was going through before, during, and after working together. And the reason that we decided to sit down and do this interview is because, frankly, my client, her name's Lisa, whom you'll meet in a few moments, she felt like there just isn't a lot of hope going around. And a lot of times people feel like they get backed into a wall with psoriasis where you either are meant to just suffer and get worse, or you could take serious medications that you might not be comfortable with. And there seems to be no real middle ground, and dietary things don't necessarily work. Lisa has had a really interesting journey that I know many of my listeners can relate to. And so she was actually more than happy to share her experience with each and every one of you, not just as a reminder that, yes, there are other things that you can do and there are other ways that you can approach your psoriasis, but also to give you hope and remind you that you are not necessarily doomed to living this progressively worsening situation within your body of feeling worse and worse, more pain, more psoriasis lesions, becoming increasingly tired and just suffering. She just wanted people to know that there are other ways and to give you hope, because the little ounce of hope that she had left when her and I connected was a huge springboard for her to get where she is now. Before we dive into the conversation with Lisa, I wanted to take a listener's question. And one of the reasons why is because the question is about psoriasis. So it seemed pretty on point given what the interview is about today. This question was submitted by one of our listeners named Julie.
I'd like to know the best way to help heal scalp psoriasis. It would be very helpful if you could give me any tips or any ways I can help to manage quite an insatiable itch. I'm treating it from the gut, obviously inside out, have done for many years. I do have MS and some other health conditions, including endometriosis, but the scalp psoriasis is much improved, but I do still have the itchy flaking and dryness, and I certainly don't wear black tops. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to leave a question, Julie. I really appreciate it. And it's a good question because a lot of times people will have a certain type of psoriasis, or they have psoriasis in an area, whether it's their hands or their feet or their legs or their scalp. And we get to wondering what could possibly help this particular situation. Now, here's the thing. Lisa today, who's my client and our guest, is going to be sharing her experience dealing with psoriasis, especially that affected her hands. And you might think, as a person who has psoriasis all over their scalp, that this conversation and the steps that she took doesn't apply to you because they're in different areas. And what I can tell you is that this is a very common mistake, because we think that the area that our rashes exist, that there must be a different approach for how to address them. And in reality, there's not. The itchiness is actually more important than where your psoriasis is. And that's an important point, in that a lot of the information that I discuss on the Healthy Skin Show is applicable to you, even if we don't specifically call out scalp psoriasis. So what I'd like to invite you and everyone else listening to this who says, oh no, I have inverse psoriasis or hand psoriasis or psoriasis on my shins or only in my armpits and elbow pit, whatever on my face, it doesn't matter. That's the thing. And because we're so used to the conventional approach to things where we kind of slice and dice the body up into parts and you only see this person for your brain issues and you see this person for your heart issues. We kind of got the same mentality going when it comes to psoriasis, for example. We think that there must be a different way to deal with it simply because it's in a different area. And I want to encourage you to walk back that idea and say, okay, maybe the significance of the scalp issue has something to do with the hair follicles. It's possible. However, the way that you would go about addressing it and looking at the root causes would be identical to the person who has psoriasis on their feet, their shins, their hands, or anywhere else. Since that's the case, I want to share with you guys one of my brand new guides that will help you figure out what some of those root causes are. And yes, it's important to think about working on your psoriasis from the perspective of the gut. That is certainly important. However, the way that you deal with your gut, I've found a lot of times people do the steps out of order and they don't really know what's going on. And so this e-guide, it's called the Skin Rash Root Cause Finder, is a really great way to help you pinpoint and narrow down where you need to work on things. I'm going to share a link to where you can grab that handout, which is actually a 16-page booklet. Don't worry, it's not a 16-page book filled with all sorts of lengthy reading and such. It's actually a great workbook, and I use this process with my clients, and I found that a lot of people who've gone through this process and use this ebook have gotten some really great answers and clarity around what they need to do in order to focus on their particular issues. But I will say this one thing. Chronic itching typically is indicative that there is some sort of thing going on with some hidden bugs under the surface. And the best place to look is in your GI tract. And I would highly suggest look for H. pylori and then look for other bugs that should not be hanging out or maybe are overgrown within the GI tract. All right, I think now would be a great time to transition over to my interview with my client, Lisa Stadola. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Today, I have a very special guest. And my guest is someone who I am so grateful for her being here because she's actually one of my clients. And she asked if I could share her story because her journey with psoriasis has been one that has definitely had some pretty low lows. And she's dug herself out of those lows. It's not to say that she's 100% perfect, but she's come to a much different place and wanted to share her experience with you. And I am so grateful that she's willing to do that. Her name is Lisa Stadola, and she is a stay-at-home mom of two kids, a girl 9 and a boy 8. She loves photography, being outside, traveling, spending time with her husband and her husband's large family, as well as friends. And we were just talking a moment ago about our mutual love of hot weather, and because she lives in the Midwest, where winter is long and summers are never enough, this is a really great treat as we're sitting here getting to record this as the seasons begin to change to those warmer times. So Lisa, thank you so much for being here and sharing your story with us.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to just dive right in, and I think you are the best person to tell your story of where did psoriasis begin for you?
Right after I had my daughter, I had noticed a patch of skin. This was back in 2011 on my hand that was dry. It was just always dry. It wasn't getting better. And after a couple months of that, I finally went to see a dermatologist, and they had said that I actually had eczema. And so for 6 years, I thought I had eczema. And then it was getting worse and worse and worse. And I finally got a skin puncture test back in, I believe it was 2017. And that's when they had discovered that it was actually psoriasis.
And so were they like, oh, oops, you have psoriasis this whole time?
Nope.
No.
They're just like, that's what you have. Sorry. Mm.
And so I assume at this point, like, what type of medications had you been using?
Oh my gosh. I think every cream out there I had tried, steroid creams, Eucrisa, I had tried, oh my gosh, just everything. I can't even list them all. And it was almost like they would work for a week, maybe if I was consistent. I was actually a little afraid to use the steroid creams just because you had heard so many things about, you know, when they stop working, it could be terrible. And so I use very minimally, but enough to feel like, well, I'm using it where it should do something. And it just wasn't doing anything. And then they switched me to some oral pills. And then eventually I went to Humira.
Yeah. Well, why did you not? I know you were saying you didn't really end up staying on Humira.
No, I took it for 4 weeks. And on the fourth week, it almost felt like I broke out in hives. I was itching terribly all over my body. And then I also noticed that my psoriasis it was mainly on my hands and my feet. Those were the worst areas. But then after the Humira, it started going all down my neck and into my scalp. And after that reaction, I couldn't stay on it. I mean, we all know if you're suffering from this, that itching can drive you mad. Yeah. So I went off it. And after that, I started trying to do my own research on how to help my psoriasis.
Well, and so it was interesting because you had sort of exhausted, at least you felt you had exhausted the conventional medicine options. And so you're like, okay, I got to figure this out. There has to be something else. And so the first thing I would assume that you probably went is looking at your diet.
My diet. Yep. And I had nothing against dermatologists, but I had asked several times, you know, if I could do anything with my diet. And I was just always told, no, that there's no research to say that you could change your psoriasis through your diet. And so I just kind of put that out of my mind. But then when you're at your last straw, because the next thing they wanted to put me on was methotrexate, which I wasn't going to do anyway. I knew that. So then I thought, well, my last chance is diet. And of course I scoured through YouTube and anything I could find. And there was a lot of research saying that if I went vegan, that it was the holy grail. Your psoriasis is going to go away. So I did that. And it ended up being very bad for me.
So we say this with love and respect to other people that maybe this does work for, but this is Lisa's journey. And it's important for people to hear that a diet that works for some people may not be the best for you guys. So Lisa, do you mind sharing what happened with your diet? So you went vegan and you also started eliminating other foods as well. So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it started out with just eliminating my dairy and all meat protein type. Well, I still had legumes. But then you would hear that nightshades would have a bad reaction for psoriasis. So then I cut out nightshades, and then you're hearing sugar, anything with sugar could have a flare up. So then I'm getting rid of anything with sugar. And it was down to where I was eating a banana a day because I was so afraid to eat anything else. And that was probably 2 weeks of just water and a banana. And that was after 3 months of already dieting with a vegan diet. So yeah, it got pretty bad pretty quickly. And then the depression started even worse. And it got, like you said, pretty dark. I was in a pretty dark place.
Yeah. And when I remember when we first spoke and your husband was with you on the call and you guys were clearly very motivated to try and sort this out. And I was like, no, you can eat other foods. I want you to start eating more food. And you were very apprehensive. You were very afraid. Do you want to talk a little bit about that fear that you had developed around eating food as a result of this excessive cutting out or elimination of food?
Yeah. Well, interestingly enough, when I had first started going vegan, I had this, I would say, 2 week period where I felt great. You know, my skin almost felt like it was getting better. I hadn't slept well in years. Like, I didn't realize how bad my sleep was until I realized what sleep actually was. But that 2 week period, I'm like, oh, food is, you know, everything. Here I'm feeling so great. But then all of a sudden it was this huge dip. And I'm thinking, well, if food can have that big of effect on me, well then, you know, if I eliminate more and more and more, I'm going to feel better again, until the point where you just eliminate so much that you're depleting your body of everything it needs, and you don't even, I mean, I think you're so afraid that you're going to get that itching and it's going to spread, mm-hmm. and that this fear that if I eat this and I have the reaction of my skin getting worse, that it's like, okay, I'd rather not eat and just, have my skin better or not itch. I think that the itching to me was, it was maddening.
Yeah.
So I thought I can just eliminate anything and then I'm going to at least not itch anymore.
Yeah. And what we discovered, right, was your thyroid really needed help.
Yeah. Yeah.
It needed a ton of help. And some of you might remember, I actually talked about a client in the thyroid and psoriasis connection podcast, and that was Lisa.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. She was like, yes, please share about my experience. Her TSH was at 33, which optimal is considered in functional medicine to be between 1 and 2. So it's a pretty sizable, I'd never seen someone's TSH that high. 8 was the highest I had ever seen in the past. And so I was taken back and I said, Lisa, you got to go to a doctor. You need to get some medication here. We need to get this. And we also found a lot of nutrient issues and, you know, also encouraging you to look at this from a different perspective. And so do you want to talk a little bit about how you shifted, so to speak, from just being food focused to looking more at root causes?
Yeah. Well, mainly it was obviously through speaking with you and realizing that protein was a huge thing for me, because I think once you told me to get that 70 grams of protein per day, at least that I would say it was even at about 2 weeks later, maybe even before that, it was just noticeably night and day. My energy came back a little bit more. I was sleeping better. Just a lot of different things. So, just getting the protein, and then we talked about vitamin D, vitamin A, and, just getting my body to process the food, was huge. When you started putting me on the regimen of fixing my gut, that too, it was, I would say within 2 weeks when I started on my first protocol, I was seeing a lot of difference, maybe not necessarily in my skin yet, but in the way I slept and feeling like I had more energy during the day. And just, you know, you kind of want to start spending time with people again, whereas before all you want to do is lay in bed and just be alone. Yeah. So yeah, those kind of things were the first noticeable things that I noticed. I think when you're going into it, you want to notice your skin improving first. But I think once you realize that you can improve the other things, you're willing to deal with your skin and wait it out until it starts to improve.
Yeah. So it was sort of like the skin needed other things to correct or rebalance before it could do its thing. And so with that said, I mean, right now, you know, where are you? I think people are probably going to want to know, like, where are you with your psoriasis and your health at the moment? So this is, we're looking at you. So this is about what, 6 to 8 months later?
Yeah. Right around there. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So since we met, it's been to about 6 to 8 months. So where are you now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I could do it in percentage wise, I would say I'm right at around 90% better. I still have days where, and as you know, my thyroid is still not on track. So there are days where, especially on my hand, it'll get super dry. And then I just make sure I increase my water, my breathing, just different things that I try to do to cope with that. But it's never been where it was back in August and September of last year, which is where I think I was at my peak of feeling terrible.
And can I ask from an emotional standpoint, what's the shift there? Because I mean, when we first talked, you, and I can understand why your husband was so concerned, you sounded like you were kind of standing on an edge, really weak, really uncomfortable. And then when I spoke with you, I think it was maybe a month later, I was like, wait, are you the same person?
Yeah.
Like so much had changed, the sound of your voice, the strength in your voice. So how has that shift been for you?
I think honestly, just getting sleep. I think when you're woke up constantly with your skin itching, and the sleep part for me was the first step to mentally feeling better. And when I noticed that shift, I think everything else kind of fell into place for me. Like, oh, I can get through this. You know, I want to wake up and spend the time with my kids. And I have the energy to do that. And I think once you start building on just even that one simple thing, I think it lined you up and you mm-hmm. can kind of see this brighter picture at the
exactly.
end. So I think it honestly, the sleep for me was the first thing that made me mentally shift mm-hmm. and realizing that breathing was a big thing. I didn't realize I never focused on that really before. And I think for me, the breathing, when I was feeling stressed out, just to take a couple minutes for myself and just breathe through it. And then all of a sudden you can kind of come out of that slump that you're in. And it sounds so weird. I think a year ago, I'd have been like, whatever, breathing is not going to help me, but it certainly did.
Yeah. Learning those tools they're incredible life skills in a sense. And we do a lot of times blow them off because we go, well, it's free. You know, right. It's breathing. Like you said, like we do that. I just do that
right.
and I don't feel any better, but it's more, there's a sense of presence and consciousness in what you're doing. You are being intentional, right? In being focused on your breath. And also too, for those who are listening who want to check out some breath practices, I do have a great podcast episode about that that has three tutorials in it. So I'll make sure to share that in the show notes. And that might be really a really helpful tool for everyone. And so I'm really glad that we were able to help you really, truly shift things. I mean, a 90% shift is amazing because quality of life is probably a lot different now than it was last year.
Absolutely. There's, yeah, if my husband were here right now, he'd come in and thank you. He'd be like, thank you. I have her back. Yeah.
So for people who are listening to this, who feel like they have no other options. They've tried or they're in the process of trying all these drugs. Maybe they've dabbled with their diet or they have tried AIP and vegan and all these different diets and seen no hope. What would you say to somebody who's feeling like they're almost like damned and stuck with this awful issue for the rest of their life?
Yeah. Do some testing. I mean, work with you, obviously, if you can, but if you can't, at least get some testing done just to see where your levels are at with your vitamins, your minerals, your thyroid. I think you've touched on this many times, as many people go with thyroid issues thinking it's just depression or they just have trouble sleeping. And I think if you have a thyroid issue and you don't even know it, and they're just testing you for the minimal of what they can test you for, that might be a huge component right there. So I think testing, you certainly taught me that there, you can find out a lot through that mm-hmm. and you can see major changes once you can put those back into your body. Mm-hmm. Another one was on your, I think it was on your page, you had your, stomach acid test. And that's another thing that's free. Just find out if you have stomach acid to take care of your food and process it. And that I had none. At least I don't, yeah. I mean, according to the test, I didn't have any.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so too, do you think that if you were in a really dark place, and if you think back to where you were before, and for people who are there, do you think that in coming through everything that you've experienced, that there is potential for change, for hope, and maybe there are, what do you wish someone could say to you in that moment? You might not be 100% ready to hear it, but what would you have wished someone would have said to you at a certain point?
If you take care of your body, you can see improvements. Now, like you said, it might not be 100%. It's not going to be overnight. I think we all, with the way that, you know, our medical, going to the doctor, everything's this band-aid approach. It's going to be really quick. You're going to feel better within 2 weeks. So if not, come back and see me type of thing. And it's not going to be this quick overnight where you're going to, you know, be 100% better. Just give yourself the time, I think, mm-hmm. too, is because when you're in such a dark place, you feel like you just need relief immediately. And I think if you can give yourself that grace to just slowly start noticing the things that you're going to feel better with, Don't expect to feel better overnight, mm-hmm. and be okay with these small changes. And I think if somebody would have told me, just focus on little things, don't focus on the big picture. Because if you focus on your skin, you're never going to get there, because it's not going to be this where you're seeing this huge result quickly. It's going to be, like I said, you're going to notice in your sleep, you're going to notice it with your energy, in other things, and then you'll get there. And I think,
yeah,
I just wanted a quick result, and that's not how it's going to work.
No. And it's interesting too, because the body, when you think about it, you were struggling with this for a really long time. Mm-hmm. You also thought you had eczema, and you did not.
Yeah.
They are different things. They're different beasts. There's some similarities, but for the most part, they're different. And I think that the one thing I really appreciated about you and your willingness to share your story is that you want to help people feel hopeful, that there is a possibility out there. Any thoughts on, like, maybe a final thought on, you know, I know sometimes people wait a really long, like they literally are like, I have exhausted every option and only now will I ask for help. Do you think that, what do you think about that type of approach? What would you tell someone?
I think I get it to an extent, because psoriasis and eczema, because it's so visual, you know, people can see it. I think you kind of close in upon yourself and you don't want to tell people that you have it. I wore like a glove. I know you wore gloves too, mm-hmm. everywhere, yes. because I did not want to shake somebody's hand or have anyone mm-hmm. see just how raw my hand was. And I think that embarrassment keeps you from talking to people, and it keeps you from realizing that, like I said, if you can take the time and get some answers about, like, your lab test or something, that there is definitely hope. But I get how you try to exhaust, you know, maybe what your dermatologist is telling you that you can take to help these things. And you're hoping that one of these, just one of them, is going to be that miracle that's going to help you. And sometimes it's just not going to work. And there is another way. And do some research on your own too. Mm-hmm. The podcasts for me were wonderful, because you did have people on, even other doctors that came on that had either eczema or psoriasis, that would talk about it. And I think that was really helpful. Like I said, you put another face with what you're going through, and that was helpful too. But when you're just starting out and you've exhausted everything, or you just, it's hard to put yourself in the place that you're willing to talk about it. And I think there's so many people, we don't even realize it, that have eczema and psoriasis, because we're all hiding it. And it's okay to share and let other people know, so that you can, you know, maybe meet that magical person that leads you in the right direction. For me, it happened to be my mom talking to a stylist. And then I had that stylist get me in touch with a nutritionist, and that nutritionist giving me your name.
But oh my goodness. Yes, that is so random. I did not know that.
Yep. She was a nutritionist here, and she's more longevity. And she's like, you know, I would love to help you. I'd love to work with you, but there's a woman named Jennifer Fugo that deals with skin and gut, and I think you need to go with her. And so, yeah, it was, like I said, if you can put yourself out there and just give yourself this sense of saying, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm just dealing with this thing that is not something I want, but it can get better.
Yeah.
I think it's the embarrassment more than anything.
Yeah. And I want to thank you so much for your courage, because it does take a lot of courage to come on a podcast. I know that you're not used to doing this type of thing. And to share your story and be so forthcoming about the ups and downs, because you flat out told me, you're like, no, I want to make sure that I help somebody. I want to make sure that someone hears my story so that they don't give up. And there are people that give up, and it breaks my heart. It's so sad. And we want to make sure that people know that there are other options out there, that you can investigate other things. You don't have to feel stuck with just food as the only intervention once you've exhausted everything else at the dermatologist's office. And, I just thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for letting me share my story. I appreciate that a lot.
I've gotten so many requests from listeners looking for and wanting psoriasis success stories. And so it just happened to turn out that Lisa was open to the idea of coming on the show and sharing her story. And I'm so grateful that she did. And especially if you are one of those psoriasis warriors where you're really feeling hopeless, it's my wish that this episode will give you hope. It will remind you that you just have to keep going, even through the roughest and darkest of days, that it is possible. And that you don't necessarily need to go it alone. Lisa was struggling for so long on her own and reaching out for help, realizing the value in having a partner in crime, or as I like to call it, a co-pilot, can absolutely be beneficial and help put pieces together that you wouldn't even know about or see. All the information, links, and even that e-guide, my skin rash root cause finder, can be found over at skinterrupt.com/148. And if you've got questions or comments, head over there. Leave them on the blog. That way we can keep the conversation going. And if you know someone who really needs to hear this story today, they really have lost hope. They're just down in the dumps. Need a reminder of your pick me up of what is possible. Please share this episode with them. That way, Lisa's journey can help instill within them that fire to keep on going and looking for answers. And before you head off for the rest of your busy day, it would mean a lot to me if you take a moment, head on over to your podcast platform of choice, rate, leave a review about the show, and then hit the subscribe button so the next episode lands on your mobile device. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.